We now continue with The Glories of Mary, Chapter 4, Mary Our Help, Part 2. Prayer. Behold at thy feet, O Mary, my hope, a poor sinner, who has so many times been by his own fault the slave of hell. I know that by neglecting to have recourse to thee, my refuge, I allowed myself to be overcome by the devil. Had I always had recourse to thee, had I always invoked thee, I certainly should not have fallen. I trust, O Lady, most worthy of all our love, that through thee I have already escaped from the hands of the devil, and that God has pardoned me. But I tremble lest at some future period I may again fall into the same bonds. I know that my enemies have not lost the hope of again overcoming me, and already they prepare new assaults and temptations for me. Ah, my Queen and Refuge, do thou assist me. Place me under thy mantle. Permit me not again to become their slave. I know that thou wilt help me and give me the victory, provided I invoke thee, but I dread lest in my temptations I may forget thee and neglect to do so. The favor, then, that I seek of thee, and which thou must grant me, O most holy Virgin, is that I may never forget thee, and especially in time of temptation. Grant that I may then repeatedly invoke thee, saying, O Mary, help me, O Mary, help me. And when my last struggle with hell comes, at the moment of death, then, my Queen, help me more than ever, and thou thyself remind me to call on thee more frequently, either with my lips or in my heart, that, being thus filled with confidence, I may expire with thy sweet name and that of thy Son Jesus on my lips, so that I may be able to bless thee and praise thee, and not depart from thy feet in paradise for all eternity. Amen. Chapter 5. To thee do we sigh, mourning and weeping in this valley of tears. Part 1. Mary, our Mediatress. The necessity of the intercession of Mary for our salvation. That it is not only lawful, but also useful, to invoke and pray to the saints, and more especially to the Queen of Saints, the most holy and ever-blessed Virgin Mary, in order that they may obtain us the divine grace, is an article of faith, and has been defined by general councils against heretics who condemned it as injurious to Jesus Christ, who is our only mediator. But if a Jeremias, after his death, prayed for Jerusalem, if the ancients of the Apocalypse presented the prayers of the saints to God, if a St. Peter promises his disciples that after his death he will be mindful of them, if a holy St. Stephen prays for his persecutors, if a St. Paul prays for his companions, if, in fine, the saints can pray for us, why cannot we beseech the saints to intercede for us? St. Paul recommends himself to the prayers of his disciples. Brethren, pray for us. St. James exhorts us to pray for one another. Pray for one another that you may be saved. Then we can do the same. No one denies that Jesus Christ is our only mediator of justice, and that he, by his merits, has obtained our reconciliation with God. But, on the other hand, it is impious to assert that God is not pleased to grant graces at the intercession of his saints, and more especially of Mary, his mother, whom Jesus desires so much to see loved and honored by all. Who can pretend that the honor bestowed on a mother does not redound to the honor of the son? The glory of children are their fathers. Whence St. Bernard says, "Let us not imagine that we obscure the glory of the son by the great praise we lavish on the mother, for the more she is honored, the greater is the glory of her Son." There can be no doubt, says the saint, that whatever we say in praise of the mother is equally in praise of the Son. And St. Ildefonsus also says, "That which is given to the mother redounds to the Son. The honor given to the Queen is honor bestowed on the King." There can be no doubt that by the merits of Jesus, Mary was made the mediatress of our salvation. Not indeed a mediatress of justice, but of grace and intercession, as St. Bonaventure expressly calls her, Mary, the most faithful mediatress of our salvation. And St. Lawrence Justinian asks, how can she be otherwise than full of grace, who has been made the ladder to paradise, the gate of heaven, the most true mediatress between God and man? Hence the learned Suarez justly remarks that if we implore our Blessed Lady to obtain us a favor, it is not because we distrust the divine mercy, but rather that we fear our own weakness and unworthiness and the absence of proper disposition, and we recommend ourselves to Mary, that her dignity may supply for our lowliness. He says that we apply to Mary in order that the dignity of the intercessor may supply for our misery. Hence, to invoke the aid of the Most Blessed Virgin is not diffidence in the divine mercy, but dread of our own unworthiness. That it is most youthful and holy to have recourse to the intercession of Mary can only be doubted by those who have not faith. But that which we intend to prove here is that the intercession of Mary is even necessary to salvation. We say necessary, not absolutely, but morally. This necessity proceeds from the will itself of God, that all graces that he dispenses should pass through the hands of Mary, according to the opinion of St. Bernard, and which we may now with safety call the general opinion of theologians and learned men. The author of The Reign of Mary positively asserts that such is the case. It is maintained by Vega, Mendoza, Pecciutelli, Cernighi, Puri, Crasset, and by innumerable other learned authors. Even Father Natalis Alexander, who always uses so much reserve in his propositions, even he says that it is the will of God that we should expect all graces through the intercession of Mary. I will give his own words. God wills that we should obtain all good things that we hope for from him through the powerful intercession of the Virgin Mother, and we shall obtain them whenever, as we are in duty bound, we invoke her. In confirmation of this, he quotes the following celebrated passage of St. Bernard. Such is God's will, that we should have all through Mary. Father Contenson is also of the same opinion, for, explaining the words addressed by our Lord on the cross to St. John, Behold thy mother, he remarks that it is the same thing as if he had said, As no one can be saved except through the merits of my sufferings and death, so no one will be a partaker of the blood then shed otherwise than through the prayer of my mother. He alone is a son of my sorrows, who has Mary for his mother. My wounds are ever-flowing fountains of grace, but their streams will reach no one but by the channel of Mary. In vain will he invoke me as a father who has not venerated Mary as a mother. And thou, my disciple John, if thou lovest me, love her, for thou wilt be beloved by me in proportion to thy love for her. This proposition, that all that we receive from our Lord comes through Mary, does not exactly please a certain modern writer, who, although in other respects he speaks of true and false devotion with much learning and piety, yet when he treats the devotion towards the Divine Mother, he seems to grudge her that glory which was given her without scruple by St. Germanus, St. Anselm, St. John Damascene, St. Bonaventure, St. Antoninus, St. Bernardine, the venerable Abbot of Celis, and so many other learned men, who had no difficulty in affirming that the intercession of Mary is not only useful but necessary. The same author says that the proposition that God grants no grace otherwise than through Mary is hyperbolical and exaggerated, having dropped from the lips of some saints in the heat of fervor, but which, correctly speaking, is only to be understood as meaning that through Mary we receive Jesus Christ, by whose merits we obtain all graces. For he adds, To believe that God can grant us no graces without the intercession of Mary would be contrary to faith and the doctrine of St. Paul, who says that we acknowledge but one God and one mediator of God and men, the man Jesus Christ. But with his leave, and going upon his own admissions, mediation of justice by way of merit is one thing, and mediation by grace by way of prayer is another. And again, it is one thing to say that God cannot, and another that he will not, grant graces without the intercession of Mary. We willingly admit that God is the source of every good, and the absolute master of all graces, and that Mary is only a pure creature who receives whatever she obtains as a pure favor from God. But who can ever deny that it is most reasonable and proper to assert that God, in order to exalt this great creature, who more than all others honored and loved him during her life, and whom, moreover, he had chosen to be the mother of his Son, our common Redeemer, wills that all graces that are granted to those whom he has redeemed should pass through and be dispensed by the hands of Mary? We most readily admit that Jesus Christ is the only mediator of justice, according to the distinction just made, and that by his merits he obtains us all graces and salvation. But we say that Mary is the mediatress of grace, and that receiving all she obtains through Jesus Christ, and because she prays and asks for it in the name of Jesus Christ, yet all the same, whatever graces we receive, they come to us through her intercession. There is certainly nothing contrary to faith in this, but the reverse. It is quite in accordance with the sentiments of the Church, which in its public and approved prayers teaches us continually to have recourse to this Divine Mother, and to invoke her as the health of the weak, the refuge of sinners, the help of Christians, and as our life and our hope. In the office appointed to be said on the feasts of Mary, this same Holy Church, applying the words of Ecclesiasticus to this Blessed Virgin, gives us to understand that in her we find all hope. In me is all hope of life and of virtue. In Mary is every grace. In me is all grace of the way and of the truth. In Mary, finally, we shall find life and eternal salvation. Who finds me finds life, and draws salvation from the Lord. And elsewhere, they that work by me shall not sin, they that explain me shall have everlasting life. And surely such expressions as these sufficiently prove that we require the intercession of Mary. Moreover, we are confirmed in this opinion by so many theologians and fathers, of whom it is certainly incorrect to say, as the above-named author does, that in exalting Mary they spoke hyperbolically and allowed great exaggerations to fall from their lips. To exaggerate and speak hyperbolically is to exceed the limits of truth, and surely we cannot say that the saints who were animated by the Spirit of God, which is truth itself, spoke thus. If I may be allowed to make a short digression and give my own sentiment, it is that when an opinion tends in any way to the honor of the Most Blessed Virgin, when it has some foundation and is not repugnant to the faith, nor to the decrees of the Church, nor to the truth, the refusal to hold it, or to oppose it because the reverse may be true, shows little devotion to the Mother of God. Of the number of such as these I do not choose to be, nor do I wish my reader to be so, but rather of the number of those who fully and firmly believe all that can without error be believed of the greatness of Mary, according to the Abbot Rupert, who, amongst the acts of homage most pleasing to this good mother, places that of firmly believing all that redounds to her honor. If there was nothing else to take away our fear of exceeding in the praises of Mary, St. Augustine should suffice, for he declares that whatever we may say in praise of Mary is little in comparison with that which she deserves on account of her dignity of Mother of God. And, moreover, the Church says, in the Mass appointed for her festivals, "Thou art happy, O sacred Virgin Mary, and most worthy of all praise. But let us return to the point and examine what the saints would say on the subject. Saint Bernard says that God has filled Mary with all graces, so that men may receive by her means, as by a channel, every good thing that comes to them. He says that she is a full aqueduct, that others may receive of her plenitude. On this, the saint makes the following significant remark. Before the birth of the Blessed Virgin, a constant flow of graces was wanting, because this aqueduct did not exist. But now that Mary has been given to the world, heavenly graces constantly flow through her on all. The devil, like Holofernes, who, in order to gain possession of the city of Bethulia, ordered the aqueducts to be destroyed, exerts himself to his utmost to destroy devotion to the Mother of God in souls. For if this channel of grace is closed, he easily gains possession of them. And here, continues the same Saint Bernard, see, O souls, with what tender devotion our Lord wills that we should honor our Queen, by always having recourse to her protection, and by relying on it. For in Mary he has placed the plenitude of every good, so that henceforward we may know and acknowledge that whatever hope, grace, or other advantage we possess, all comes from the hand of Mary. Saint Antoninus says the same thing. All graces that have ever been bestowed on men, all came through Mary. And on this account, she is called the moon, according to the following remark of Saint Bonaventure. As the moon, which stands between the sun and the earth, transmits to this latter whatever it receives from the former, so does Mary pour out upon us who are in this world the heavenly graces that she receives from the divine Son of Justice. Again, the Holy Church calls her the happy gate of heaven. For as the same Saint Bernard remarks, as every mandate of grace that is sent by a king passes through the palace gates, so does every grace that comes from heaven to the world pass through the hands of Mary. Saint Bonaventure says that Mary is called the gate of heaven because no one can enter that blessed kingdom without passing through her. An ancient author, probably Saint Sophronius, in a sermon on the Assumption, published with the works of Saint Jerome, says that the plenitude of grace which is in Jesus Christ came into Mary, though in a different way, meaning that it is our Lord, as in the head, from which the vital spirits, that is, divine help to obtain eternal salvation, flow into us, who are the members of his mystical body, and that same plenitude is in Mary, as in the neck, through which these vital spirits pass to the members. The same idea is confirmed by Saint Bernardine of Siena, who explains it more clearly, saying that all graces of the spiritual life that descend from Christ their head to the faithful who are his mystical body are transmitted through the instrumentality of Mary. The same Saint Bernardine endeavors to assign a reason for this when he says that God was pleased to dwell in the womb of this Holy Virgin. She acquired, so to speak, a kind of jurisdiction over all graces, for when Jesus Christ issued forth from her most sacred womb, all the streams of divine gifts flowed from her as from a celestial ocean. Elsewhere, repeating the same idea in a more distinct term, he asserts that from the moment that this Virgin Mother conceived the divine Word in her womb, she acquired a special jurisdiction, so to say, over all the gifts of the Holy Ghost, so that no creature has since received any grace from God otherwise than through the hands of Mary. Another author, in a commentary on a passage of Jeremiah's in which the prophet, speaking of the incarnation of the Eternal Word and of Mary his mother, says that a woman shall compass a man, remarks that as no line can be drawn from the center of a circle without passing by the circumference, so no grace proceeds from Jesus, who is the center of every good thing, without passing by Mary, who compassed him when she received him into her womb. Saint Bernardine says that for this reason, all gifts, all virtues, and all graces are dispensed by the hands of Mary to whomsoever, when, and as she pleases. Richard of St. Lawrence also asserts that God wills that whatever good things he bestows on his creatures should pass through the hands of Mary. And therefore the venerable abbot of Celis exhorts all to have recourse to this treasury of graces, for so he calls her. For the world and the whole human race have to receive every good that can be hoped for through her alone. Address yourselves to the Blessed Virgin, he says, for by her, and in her, and with her, and from her, the world receives, and is to receive, every good. It must now be evident to all that when these saints and authors tell us in such terms that all graces come to us through Mary, they do not simply mean to say that we receive Jesus Christ, the source of every good, through Mary, as the before-named writer pretends. But they assure us that God, who gave us Jesus Christ, wills that all graces that have been, that are, and that will be dispensed to men to the end of the world through the merits of Christ, should be dispensed by the hands and through the intercession of Mary. And thus Father Suarez concludes that it is the sentiment of the universal Church that the intercession and prayers of Mary are, above those of all others, not only useful, but necessary. Necessary in accordance with what we have already said, not with an absolute necessity, for the mediation of Jesus Christ alone is absolutely necessary, but with a moral necessity, for the Church believes with St. Bernard that God has determined that no grace shall be granted otherwise than by the hands of Mary. God wills, says the saint, that we should have nothing that has not passed through the hands of Mary. And before St. Bernard, St. Ildefonsus asserted the same thing, addressing the Blessed Virgin in the following terms. O Mary, God has decided on committing all good gifts that he has provided for men to thy hands, and therefore he has entrusted all treasures and riches of grace to thee. And therefore St. Peter Damian remarks that God would not become man without the consent of Mary, in the first place that we might feel ourselves under great obligations to her, and in the second, that we might understand that the salvation of all is left to the care of this Blessed Virgin. St. Bonaventure, on the words of the prophet Isaiah, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the root of Jesse, and a flower shall rise up out of his root, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him," makes a beautiful remark, saying, "Whomever desires the sevenfold grace of the Holy Spirit, let him seek for the flower of the Holy Ghost in the rod, that is, for Jesus in Mary. For by the rod we find the flower, and by the flower, God." And in the 12th chapter of the same work he adds, "If you desire to possess this flower, bend down the rod which bears the flower, by prayer, and so you will obtain it." The Seraphical Father, in his sermon for the Epiphany on the words of St. Matthew, "They found the child with Mary his mother," reminds us that if we wish to find Jesus, we must go to Mary. We may then conclude that in vain shall we seek for Jesus unless we endeavor to find him with Mary. And so St. Ildefonsus says, "I desire to be the servant of the Son, but because no one will ever be so without serving the Mother, for this reason I desire the servitude of Mary." Example. A young nobleman who was on the sea voyage began to read an obscene book, in which he took much pleasure. A religious noticed this and said to him, "Are you disposed to make a present to our Blessed Lady?" The young man replied that he was. "Well," the other answered, "I wish that, for the love of the Most Holy Virgin, you would give up that book and throw it into the sea." "Here it is, Father," said the young man. "No," replied the religious, "you must yourself make Mary this present." He did so, and no sooner had he returned to Genoa, his native place, than the Mother of God so inflamed his heart with divine love that he entered a religious order. Prayer. O my soul, see what a sure hope of salvation and eternal life our Lord has given thee, by having in his mercy inspired thee with confidence in the patronage of his mother. And this, notwithstanding that so many times by thy sins thou hast merited his displeasure in hell. Thank thy God, and thank thy protectress Mary, who has condescended to take thee under her mantle. For of this thou mayest be well convinced, after the many graces that thou hast received by her means. O yes, I do thank thee, my most loving mother, for all thou hast done for me who am deserving of hell. And from how many dangers hast thou not delivered me, O Queen? How many inspirations and mercies hast thou not obtained for me from God? What service, what honor have I ever rendered thee, that thou shouldst do so much for me? I know that it is thy sole goodness that has impelled thee. Ah, too little would it be, in comparison with all that I owe thee, did I shed my blood and give my life for thee. For thou hast delivered me from eternal death. Thou hast enabled me, as I hope, to recover divine grace. To thee, in fine, I owe all I have. My most amiable lady, I, a poor wretch that I am, can make thee no return but that of always loving and praising thee. Ah, disdain not to accept the tender affection of a poor sinner, who is inflamed with love for thy goodness. If my heart is unworthy to love thee, because it is impure and filled with earthly affections, it is thou who must change it. Ah, change it then. Bind me to my God, and bind me so that I may never more have it in my power to separate myself from his love. Thou askest of me that I should love thy God, and I ask of thee that thou shouldst obtain this love for me, to love him always. This is all that I desire. Amen. Part 2. The same subject continued. Saint Bernard says that as a man and a woman cooperated in our ruin, so it was proper that another man and another woman should cooperate in our redemption. And these two were Jesus and his mother Mary. There is no doubt, says the saint, that Jesus Christ alone was more than sufficient to redeem us. But it was more becoming that both sexes should cooperate in the reparation of an evil in causing which both had shared. Hence blessed Albert the Great calls Mary the helper of redemption, and the Blessed Virgin herself revealed to Saint Bridget that as Adam and Eve sold the world for an apple, so did she with her son redeem it as it were with one heart. This confirmed by Saint Anselm, who said that although God could create the world out of nothing, yet when it was lost by sin, he would not repair the evil without the cooperation of Mary. Suarez says that Mary cooperated in our salvation in three ways. First, by having merited by a merit of congruity the incarnation of the Word. Secondly, by having continually prayed for us whilst she was living in this world. Thirdly, by having willingly sacrificed the life of her Son to God. For this reason, our Lord has justly decreed that as Mary cooperated in the salvation of man with so much love, and at the same time gave such glory to God, so all men through her intercession are to obtain their salvation. Mary is called the cooperator in our justification, for to her God has entrusted all graces intended for us. And therefore, Saint Bernard affirms, that all men, past, present, and to come, should look upon Mary as the means and negotiator of the salvation of all ages. Jesus Christ says that no one can find him unless the Eternal Father first draws him by the means of divine grace. No one comes to me unless my Father draws him. Thus also does Jesus address his mother, says Richard of St. Lawrence. No one comes to me unless my mother first of all draws him by her prayers. Jesus was the fruit of Mary, as St. Elizabeth told her, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." Whoever therefore desires the fruit must go to the tree. Whoever desires Jesus must go to Mary, and whoever finds Mary will most certainly find Jesus. When St. Elizabeth saw the Most Blessed Virgin had come to visit her in her own house, not knowing how to thank her, and filled with humility, she exclaimed, "And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should visit me?" But how could this be, we may ask? Did not St. Elizabeth already know that not only Mary but also Jesus had entered her house? Why then does she say that she is unworthy to receive the mother, and not rather that she is unworthy to receive the Son who had come to visit her? Ah, yes, it was that the saint knew full well that when Mary comes, she brings Jesus, and therefore it was sufficient to thank the mother without naming the Son. She is like the merchant's ship, she bringeth her bread from afar. Mary was this fortunate ship that brought us to Jesus Christ from heaven, who is the living bread that comes down from heaven to give us eternal life, as he himself says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever." And hence Richard of St. Lawrence says, that in the sea of this world all will be lost who are not received into this ship, that is to say, all who are not protected by Mary. And therefore he adds, "As often as we see ourselves in danger of perishing in the midst of the temptations and contending passions of this life, let us have recourse to Mary, and cry out quickly, 'O Lady, help us, save us, if thou wilt not see us perish.'" Remark, by the by, that this writer does not scruple to address these words to Mary, "Save us, we perish," as does a certain author already noticed, and who says that we cannot ask Mary to save us, as this belongs to God alone. But since a culprit condemned to death can beg a royal favorite to save him by interceding with the king that his life may be spared, why cannot we ask the Mother of God to save us by obtaining us eternal life? St. John Damascene scrupled not to address her in these words, "Pure and immaculate Virgin, save me and deliver me from eternal damnation." St. Bonaventure called Mary the salvation of those who invoked her. The Holy Church approves of the invocation by also calling her the salvation of the weak. And shall we scruple to ask her to save us when the way of salvation is open to none otherwise than through Mary, as a certain author remarks? And before him, St. Germanus had said the same thing, speaking of Mary, "No one is saved but through thee." But let us now see what else the saints say of the need in which we are of the intercession of the Divine Mother. The glorious Saint Cajetan used to say that we may seek for graces, but shall never find them without the intercession of Mary. This is confirmed by Saint Antoninus, who thus beautifully expresses himself, "Whoever asks and expects to obtain graces without the intercession of Mary endeavors to fly without wings. For, as Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'The land of Egypt is in thy hands,' and addressed all who came to him for food to Joseph, 'Go to Joseph,' so does God send us to Mary when we seek for grace. 'Go to Mary,' for he has decreed," says St. Bernard, "that he will grant no graces otherwise than by the hands of Mary." And thus, says Richard of St. Lawrence, our salvation is in the hands of Mary, so that we Christians may with much greater reason say of her than the Egyptians of Joseph, "Our salvation is in thy hands." The Venerable Raymond Giordano repeats the same thing, "Our salvation is in her hands." Cassian speaks in still stronger terms. He says absolutely that salvation of all depends on their being favored and protected by Mary. He who is protected by Mary will be saved. He who is not will be lost. St. Bernardine of Siena thus addresses this Blessed Virgin: O Lady, since thou art the dispenser of all graces, and since the grace of salvation can only come through thy hands, our salvation depends on thee. Therefore, Richard of St. Lawrence had good reason for saying that as we should fall into the abyss if the ground were withdrawn from under our feet, so does a soul deprived of the succor of Mary first fall into sin, and then into hell. St. Bonaventure says that God will not save us without the intercession of Mary, and that as a child cannot live without a nurse to suckle it, so no one can be saved without the protection of Mary. Therefore he exhorts us to thirst after devotion to her, to persevere in it with care, and never to abandon it until we have received her maternal blessing in heaven. And whoever, exclaims St. Germanus, could know God, were it not for thee, O most holy Mary? Who could be saved? Who would be preserved from dangers? Who would receive any grace, were it not for thee, O Mother of God, O full of grace? The following are the beautiful words in which he expresses himself. There is no one, O most holy Mary, who can know God but through thee. No one who can be saved or redeemed but through thee, O Mother of God. No one who can be delivered from dangers but through thee, O Virgin Mother. No one who obtains mercy but through thee, O filled with all grace. And in another place, addressing her, he says, No one would be free from the effects of the concupiscence of the flesh and from sin unless thou didst open the way to him. And as we have access to the Eternal Father, says St. Bernard, only through Jesus Christ, so have we access to Jesus Christ only through Mary. By thee we have access to the Son, O blessed finder of grace, bearer of life, and mother of salvation, that we may receive him by thee, who through thee was given to us. This is the reason given by the saint why our Lord has determined that all shall be saved by the intercession of Mary, and therefore he calls her the Mother of Grace and of our salvation. Then, asks St. Germanus, what will become of us? What hope can we have of salvation if thou dost abandon us, O Mary, who art the life of Christians? But, says the modern author already quoted, if all graces come through Mary, when we implore the intercession of other saints, they must have recourse to the mediation of Mary. But that, he says, no one believes or ever dreamed. As to believing it, I reply that in that there can be no error or difficulty. What difficulty can there be in saying that God, in order to honor his mother, and having made her queen of saints, and willing that all graces shall be dispensed by her hands, should also will that the saints should address themselves to her to obtain favors for their clients? And as to saying that no one ever dreamed of such a thing, I find that St. Bernard, St. Anselm, St. Bonaventure, Suarez, and others expressly declare it to be the case. In vain, says St. Bernard, would a person ask other saints for a favor if Mary did not interpose to obtain it. Some other author, explaining the words of the psalm, All the rich among the people shall entreat thy countenance, says that the saints are the rich of that great people of God who, when they wish to obtain a favor from God for their clients, recommend themselves to Mary, and she immediately obtains it. And Father Suarez correctly remarks that we beg the saints to be our intercessors with Mary, because she is their queen and sovereign lady. Amongst the saints, he says, we do not make use of one to intercede with the other, as all are of the same order, but we do ask them to intercede with Mary, because she is their sovereign and queen. And this is precisely what St. Benedict promised to St. Francis of Rome, as we read in Father Marchis, for he appeared to her, and, taking her under his protection, he promised that he would be her advocate with the Divine Mother. In confirmation of this, St. Anselm addresses our Blessed Lady and says, O Lady, whatever all the saints, united with thee, can obtain, thou canst obtain alone. And why is this? Asks the saint. Why is it that thou alone hast such great power? Ah, it is because thou alone art the mother of our common Redeemer. Thou art the spouse of God. Thou art the universal queen of heaven and earth. If thou dost not speak for us, no saint will pray for or help us. But if thou beginnest to pray for us, then will all the saints do the same and succor us. So that Father Signeri, in his Devout Client of Mary, applying with the Catholic Church the words of Ecclesiasticus to her, I alone have compassion the circuit of heaven, says that as the first sphere by its motion sets all the others in motion, so it is when Mary prays for a soul. Immediately the whole heavenly court begins to pray with her. Nay more, says St. Bonaventure, whenever the Most Sacred Virgin goes to God to intercede for us, she, as queen, commands all the angels and saints to accompany her and unite their prayers to hers. And thus, finally, do we understand why the Holy Church requires that we should salute and invoke the Divine Mother under the glorious title of Our Hope. The impious Luther said that he could not endure that the Roman Church should call Mary, who is only a creature, our hope. For, said he, God alone and Jesus Christ as our mediator is our hope, and God cures those who place their hope in a creature, according to the prophet Jeremiah, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. But the Church teaches us to invoke Mary on all occasions, and to call her our hope. Hail our hope! Whoever places his confidence in a creature independently of God, he is certainly cursed by God, for God is the only source and dispenser of every good, and the creature without God is nothing and can give nothing. But if our Lord has so disposed it, as we have already proved that he has done, that all graces should pass through Mary as by a channel of mercy, we not only can but ought to assert that she, by whose means we receive the divine graces, is truly our hope. Therefore Saint Bernard says that she is his greatest confidence and the whole foundation of his hope. Saint John Damascene says the same thing, for he thus addresses the Most Blessed Virgin, O Lady, in thee have I placed all my hope, and with my eyes fixed on thee, from thee do I expect salvation. St. Thomas says that Mary is the whole hope of our salvation. And St. Ephrem, addressing her, says, O Most Holy Virgin, receive us under thy protection, if thou wilt see us saved, for we have no hope of salvation but through thy means. Let us, then, in the words of St. Bernard, endeavor to venerate this Divine Mother with the whole affection of our hearts, for such is the will of God, who is pleased that we should receive every good thing from her hand. And therefore the saint exhorts us, whenever we desire or ask for any grace, to recommend ourselves to Mary, and to be assured that we shall receive it by her means. For he says, If thou dost not deserve the favor from God, Mary, who will ask it for thee, will deserve to receive it. Because thou wast unworthy of the gift, it was bestowed on Mary, that through her thou mightest receive all that thou hast. The saint then advises us to recommend all that we offer to God, to the care of Mary, be they good works or prayers, if we wish our Lord to accept them. Whatever thou mayest offer to God, be sure to recommend it to Mary in order not to meet with a repulse. We will continue Chapter 5 on the next side of the tape.